I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
D'Amico Ryans, Mufasa, going back and joining the team that drafted him in the NFL and the Houston Texans on a six-year deal. And I feel like every time in the last 3 years that we've gone to either Sean Pendergast or Seth Payne, the two hosts of the very popular morning radio show on Sports Radio 610 in Houston, it's been a very negative story. And it's been a lot of pessimism because there's really nothing to be positive about with the Texans last 2-3 years. Now we finally get to go to Sean on a day that's actually positive. And there's some optimism with the Texans because they hired D'Amico Ryans. Sean, how you been?
I'm doing good. Zach, it's good not to be a circus freak for a day. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's you nailed it, man. And that was our lead in. I just got done. I'm still up at the studio. I mean, I'm coming back in here at 6 in the morning to do my morning show, but this is one of those things where you call an audible and you come in and you do some emergency radio because this is the biggest hire in the history of this franchise. That's not hyperbole. And I think you laid it out perfectly because people will go, well, look, this is a first-time head coach who's been a coordinator. Yeah, he played for the team back in the day. That's a great story. The people who look at it from 30,000 feet and see that don't understand a couple of things. One, D'Amico Ryan's the person. He's one of the most beloved people that's been a Houstonian, let alone players on the Texans. Universally respected and beloved here in Houston. But, yeah, you nailed it. The way these last 3 years have been, the lead-in tonight was, man, this is a fan base, and this is who I'm most happy for is the fans. This is a fan base who's had to endure Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby just dismantling this franchise with bad trades and bad contracts, and then a 2-year cleanup of that. They had to endure Deshaun Watson quitting on the city of Houston and then getting sued by 30 women so you couldn't trade him for a year. You've had to endure a David Culley era, which I didn't even know that existed. I didn't know that there was such thing as a David Culley era in the dictionary, but there was for a year, and then a Lovie Smith era, and now here we are. So to understand what this hire means is not just about D'Amico Ryans, but it's very much about where this franchise has been. And I think it's safe to say he was the most coveted candidate in this job cycle amongst all the teams. He's one of the only ones that had requests from all of the teams to do interviews. He only ended up doing interviews with two of them, with Denver and with Houston. And I think it's safe to say with the way reportedly things played out in Denver today, they wanted a crack at D'Amico Ryans again, and he said no. And then it sounds weird to say this, they might have settled for Sean Payton instead of D'Amico Ryans. So today is a phenomenal day to be a Houston Texans fan.
Well, you got Schefter against Rappaport, Sean.
Yeah, dueling pianos. I love it.
And those are like the two most respected insiders in the game.
Yes.
As much as I do like Adam Schefter, I kind of believe Rappaport more because you had the Harbaugh stuff with Denver. Last week, right, wasn't Denver the favorite to go get D'Amico Ryans? And it seemed like he was the leader in the clubhouse. Then they were talking to Sean, and then those things kind of stop, and he's talking to the Cardinals. It seems like the Broncos were looking elsewhere. And then, yeah, it's weird to say that they may have settled on Sean.
Yeah, and as far as the stuff goes last week, yeah, you're right. If there was one hiccup in this journey with D'Amico Ryans when it came to the fans here, it was that Thursday, I think, last week where the reports were that D'Amico Ryans was at the top of the list for the Broncos. What wasn't reported was that the Broncos were never at the top of the list for D'Amico Ryans. I think there was a general assumption, and granted, the Texans have earned this place that I'm about to describe, but there was a general assumption, I think, that Well, if DeMeco Ryans is going to pick between the Broncos and the Texans, of course he's going to pick the Broncos, not yeah. the dumpster fire that the Houston Texans have been. But I went on a few radio shows up in Denver and said this, and I think the host that I talked to about this kind of came around, but you know, the thing is, whoever takes a Denver job is not going to get credit for Peyton Manning's Super Bowl or John Elway's two Super Bowls. Like, because Denver has a rich history, it doesn't change the fact that it's been more recent where the Texans have had a winning season than the Denver Broncos. It doesn't change the fact that the Texans have four first-round picks, including the second overall pick in the next two drafts. It doesn't change the fact that the Texans don't have a quarterback who might be broken and is getting a quarter of $1 billion over the next 5 years. The Texans' job was the best job this cycle across all the jobs on paper. If you can ignore the fact that they've been dysfunctional the last few years, and I think a lot of that is getting fixed, and I think Jack Easterby getting fired, a lot of that went out the door with that. This was, on paper, the best job this cycle. They deserve to get the best candidate.
Well, when I was thinking about it today, and I don't know which job is better than the other, but the Denver job, it does concern me because, hey, getting Sean Payton, who's going to disagree? Who's going to be annoyed at that? But I don't know what Russell Wilson's going to be, Sean.
Right. Yeah, and he's expensive, and you cleared out a lot of draft capital to go get him. I mean, you traded significant draft capital for the right to give Russell Wilson one of the worst contracts in the history of football. At least that's what's trending right now. I'm sure, Zach, that they're viewing the draft capital they gave up today and whatever salary it is that they're going to pay Sean Payton. The salary probably less significant to the Walmart people than the draft capital, actually, because money doesn't matter to them. But the price, the cost that they're going to pay, I'm sure baked into that is that they're going to have to take this distressed asset that they have in Russell Wilson, and he's going to have to turn it around. The problem for him is he's going to have to turn it around in a division that has Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in it for the next 10 years. So,
great point.
I wish Peyton luck, but he's going to get paid a lot of money, and I'll leave it at that. But the Russell Wilson, Sean Payton dynamic is going to be fascinating to watch this year, no doubt.
And once again, DeMeco Ryans seems like he's a rock star. We know he was a great leader, kind of like a coach when he was a player. But we've been through this cycle before where there's a hot name coordinator, defensive side of the ball, offensive side of the ball, and they just don't work out as a head coach. But, like, that's not my concern. I don't know if it's going to work or not if I'm a Texans fan, but it's just, okay, now you finally have a coach that you could say – this is the guy that's going to start the rebuild, because you knew the last two hires. If they got more than a year in David Culley and also Lovie Smith individually, it would have shocked everybody.
Yeah, they're now operating like an actual real kind of bad rebuilding team. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not here to say like they're now announcing their presence with authority. Look out, playoff teams, here they come. What I'm saying is that what had happened before Nick Caserio got here was so dysfunctional, with Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien completely ruining this team with their trades, the signings, and then the Deshaun Watson thing on top of it. I mean, it already would have been an uphill climb for Caserio to get the books cleaned up, even if Deshaun Watson wanted to be here and didn't get sued by nearly 30 women. But the fact that Nick was able to pull off a trade for three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson – and now he's got the salary cap cleaned up, and now they've got Jack Easterby out of the building, and now they've got a franchise icon coaching the team who's not just some franchise icon who you go, well, he's a Houston Texan legend, and this should be good because at least we reconnect with our fans. Every team in this coaching cycle wanted a shot at DeMeco Ryans. Yeah. He's a good coach, too. So, yeah, I'm not here to say they're going to be a playoff team next year, but I do think it's optimism that is very, very well grounded with DeMeco. And now we'll see. Now he's got to put a staff together, and they've got to do this draft. They got to get the quarterback right. There's a lot of things they still need to get right. But, I can't express enough. There has not been a single day in the last 3 years where you've been able to feel good about the Texans living in Houston. Like, not one. And today is just I can't overstate how massive it is for this city.
Well, here's my biggest question for you. You talked about Caserio, who's been there for the last few years. Now he finally makes a hire where people think that it's going to work out, and they're believing in the coach that he hires, and you never see a GM hire three people and never have enough wins to be able to do that. Does this reset the timeline for Caserio? Like, where is the timeline at when there's even more pressure being put on Nick Caserio? Is this viewed now like year one with Caserio or no?
I don't know if it's viewed like year one. This is what I'll say. I will say this. Cal McNair, the McNairs as a whole, they love Nick Caserio. So I don't think there's any loss in faith in Nick Caserio. I think they fully understand the cleanup job that he had coming in here. You know, my guess is he had some very honest conversations with the McNairs as to how long it might take to clean things up before they could function normally again. You know, he came into a team that wasn't picking until the 67th overall pick and had five draft picks his first year. Like, he was, you know, tens of millions of dollars over the cap. So I don't, as far as like what this does as a timeline, look, Nick has 4 years left on his contract still. He's 2 years in. He signed a 6-year deal, which is actually a little longer than the normal GM contract, which kind of indicates that maybe year one was really sort of year zero, if you know what I mean. I don't think he's on a hot seat. I do think that if this, you know, if we're looking up 2 years from now and this is still a team that's picking in the top five and the you know, the other shoe needs to drop on somebody, it's now Nick. And he knows that. Like, he's very accountable to that. He comes on my show. He's coming on our show this Friday. Like, he's a pretty frequent guest with us. He's pretty open about, you know, just the microscope that he's under now. The first couple years, he hasn't pointed fingers. But as far as the fans and us in the media going, okay, whose fault is it that they're this bad right now? The first couple years, at least, you could point to what he inherited. We're past that now. Like, it is Nick Caserio runway moving forward. And I can tell you that if things are going sideways a couple years in, it'll probably be Nick, not D'Amico, that's taking the brunt of that. So I don't think it's a hot seat, but I do think he's the one that the pressure is, at least at this point now, is squarely more so on him than it is D'Amico. D'Amico will have that normal pressure of being an NFL head coach every week. He's not operating under no pressure, but the, you know, it's Nick who this is on right now for sure.
Is there anything you don't like about this hire? Just one there.
I guess if there's, you know, it's not that I don't like these things, but if I'm looking at the modern NFL, the fact that D'Amico is a defensive coach, not an offensive coach, it doesn't scare me greatly, but I understand the dynamic, especially in this postseason. It seemed like if you didn't have an offensive coach, you know, you didn't get into the club, that kind of thing. And you do tend to then have to, especially if they draft a young quarterback, you're going to have to worry about possibly cycling through offensive coordinators. Now, the flip side to that is the Texans haven't had an offensive coordinator in a decade, since Gary Kubiak was calling plays here, that other teams would even want to, you know, touch with a 10-foot pole. So if you all of a sudden have teams sniffing around your OC, it means you've probably done some pretty good things. That would be a welcome problem to have around here. But probably that and the part that there's really no head coach body of work to go with on D'Amico. You know, he's only been a coordinator for 2 years. Those things aren't things that I dislike or hate or anything like that. They're just, those aren't ideal. But there's so much good about D'Amico Ryans. Like, if you're doing the whole Ben Franklin pro and con thing with this, the pros far outweigh the cons. And I think it's borne out by the fact that all these other teams, you know, that there's no other team in the league that can point at this and go, well, that's a bad hire. This was a good hire. Now we got to see. It's different when you're in the big seat for some guys. I think D'Amico's going to be okay with it just because I've covered him his whole playing career in Houston, the 6 years he was here. He was someone who, and it happened in Philly too when he got traded there.
Yeah.
His leadership qualities shine through literally the first day he's anywhere new. He's exceptional. Seth Payne, who you mentioned, my co-host, his last year in Houston, his last year as a player was D'Amico's rookie year here in Houston in 2006. Seth played, for those who don't know, he was a defensive tackle for 10 years in the NFL, his last five in Houston. And Seth will tell the story where D'Amico stepped into the huddle as a rookie in training camp. You know, he's a middle linebacker, so he's the one calling all the signals. And veterans tend to look at rookies, you know, a little sideways until they earn their stripes, that kind of thing, especially in a position of kind of forced leadership like D'Amico's in. And so Seth said, you know, like any veteran, he was kind of looking like, okay, Rook. It literally took like three plays. And Seth will tell this story where he's like, within three plays, I'm like, yes, sir, no, sir, you know, that kind of thing. Like, D'Amico's got a vibe. He's got an it factor about him. So I think it's going to serve him well in this new role. Hugely respected guy.
I also think the biggest word here may just be alignment. Like, this is the first time in a while where it feels like the main people in charge are aligned.
Yeah, no doubt. I think from ownership down through the head coach, and I think Caserio and D'Amico are very aligned. They're different in terms of kind of the football, I'll call it the football religions they were brought up in. You know, Caserio is a guy whose roots are in the Belichick kind of religion. D'Amico is more of a West, you know, kind of a Kubiak, Shanahan, you know, he's part of that tree. I think both guys, though, are very intellectual. They're very smart. And I think they're both guys that recognize, like, it's better to have multiple schools of thought in a building and then we hash it out with some constructive conflict and an exchange of ideas than just to bring in everybody who thinks the same way, you know? And I think D'Amico's hire demonstrates that for sure with Caserio, that it doesn't have to be Patriots South. I think that was always a big concern with Texan fans is, okay, well, he's just going to hire, someday he's going to hire Josh McDaniel, and then the two John Carroll University guys are going to get to run a football team together like they always talked about in at the student union at John Carroll University. Not the case at all. You know, if he wanted to hire Josh McDaniels, he could have done it last year when they hired Lovie Smith. They hired D'Amico Ryans, and these, I think the two guys are going to work great together.
Two things before we let you run. I think a lot of people on the outside, like they look at David Culley and they said, okay, he won four games. What else could you have asked for? And then the Lovie Smith thing, it's back-to-back years firing a coach with only 1 year getting a chance to prove something. I never thought either David Culley or Lovie Smith should have been hired in the first place in the years of, what, 2021, 2022 to be a head coach in this league. What's the biggest misconception, you being there every day, about what happened with David Culley and Lovie Smith?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest misconception is the kind of what you just said, Zach, which is, hey, he won four games. Who else would have won four games? Oh, Lovie won three games. Who else could have won three games? The people who are saying that are people who just didn't watch the Texans this year. And I'm not saying – trust me, I'm not telling anybody you should have watched the Texans this year. But as far as having an informed opinion, yeah, and especially because with both of those coaches, there is a racial element to it that gets dragged into it sometimes, which is, I think, a slippery slope to play when you accuse a franchise of being, you know, being racist. You know, they just hired D'Amico Ryans. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I think the biggest misconception is, don't look at the win total. You got to look at and have watched this team. David Culley was so overmatched as an NFL head coach. Some of the in-game decisions he made, his explanations for those, they made no sense. And then Lovie was coaching a team was supposed to improve a little bit year over year, and they went backwards in every way possible. And they were a joke defending the run and trying to generate offense. I think that's why, you know, they got worse under Lovie, and they both deserve to be fired. There's no question.
Last thing I'll ask you, Sean Pendergast, who does a great job, Sports Radio 610 in Houston. Also, you could hear him here on CBS Sports Radio. So you said you thought this was the best job on the market, and the guy that was probably the most sought after, not probably, was the most sought after, and D'Amico Ryans ends up taking the job. Why do you think this is the best job on the market in the year of 2023?
Compared to the other openings, yeah. Obviously. Yeah. So, I think four first-round picks in the next 2 years. This year, the second pick and the 12th pick. Next year, it'll be wherever the Texans are picking and Cleveland's pick. Doesn't look like Cleveland's ready to light the world on fire anytime soon. Although Deshaun probably should be better next year.
You would think, but yeah.
Yeah, they've got those four first-round picks the next 2 years. They've got a plethora of picks overall. I think they've got 11 or 12 picks total in this draft. Plus, they get John Metchie back from a second-round pick last year, the kid out of Alabama who had leukemia this year. He looks better now than he did when he arrived, according to Nick Caserio. So it's almost like having another second-round pick. So the draft capital, the salary cap space, they've got among the six or seven most salary cap space heading into this offseason, and now have a head coach that I think will have credibility with players on the free agent market. The division is a very winnable division. You know, Jacksonville won it with a 9-8 record last year. We'll see what Trevor Lawrence is, but Indianapolis and Tennessee both appear to be on the downturn right now. You have an owner who's willing to spend money, who's not a meddling owner. He's an owner who's made some bad decisions, but if he makes good hires, that dude stays out of the way. Cal McNair does not want to be in the spotlight. And I mean, those are the big things, you know, and there's some good young pieces on the team too, especially on defense. Getting to watch Derek Stingley this year and Jalen Petrie in D'Amico's defense instead of Lovie Smith's antiquated Tampa 2 defense. Watching Derek Stingley play a soft zone all year last year while watching Sauce Gardner playing Robert Saleh's defense was one of the most painful things about being a Texan fan. Well, guess what defense D'Amico runs? The same one Robert Saleh does. They both came from the same tree. So there's a lot to like about this job, and I think those are four or five I just gave you. But I think they check all green boxes, all green check marks in those boxes for the Texans.
Sean, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much for the time.
Anytime, Zach. Appreciate you.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.